188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It is Tommy Freedom out. We'll be here for another 30 minutes. Now, before I get started on the show, there was a delay in this being put up last week, and I do apologize for that. I did get it in time, but we had some issues with the website, and the webmaster wasn't able to get it up in time because somewhere it got lost along the way between my sending it to him and him receiving it. It magically evaporated into the cloud somewhere. So I did follow up, did you get the show? He's like, no. So I immediately resent it, and it was put up. So apologize for that little delay. I know some of you have been asking me specifically when to look for these things. And as I said last week, typically between Monday and Thursday. It just depends upon how soon I'm able to get them in with my schedule. I do the best I can, but they should always be there by Wednesday afternoon or sometime on Thursday. I generally check toward the beginning of the week. I will do my best to have them for you. So I want to get into issue with Mexicans this week. I want to start the show off like that because we've had an incident here in our neighborhood on my street, which is actually the safest street in Charlotte. There is zero crime here. And once in a while, when something does happen, it does not strike this residence for some mysterious reason. But I told you a couple years ago that my foster mother had passed away. In fact, I did a tribute show directed towards her and her memory. And she just lived down the street. She lived across the street and down a couple houses. And known her ever since I moved here in the early 80s. And unfortunately, when she passed, my foster brother, my best friend, had to put the house up. He could not afford two mortgage payments, so he had to sell it. And as we were all afraid, it got sold to one of those companies that came in and bought it and did some stuff to the house and turned it over, and it's probably being rented out, but of course what moved in were Mexicans and low-class Mexicans. Several months ago, they started working on some kind of a piece of junk car that apparently they thought would go really fast, and you could hear them rev in the engine, and then screech in the tires, and they were coming up and down this road 55, 60 miles per hour. And I was the one who actually made the calls to get, first of all, this street dropped down to 25 miles per hour, had everyone on the street sign a petition. It was unanimous. And then I made a call to get the entire neighborhood changed over to speed limit 25. Usually when I make these calls, I just let them know who I am, and there's not generally any issues. It's, yes, sir, Mr. Freedom, we will look into this matter immediately and get right back to you. And typically they do. So I was more than just a little upset when they're screaming up and down this road, at more than twice the legal speed limit. Just was not having any part of that. And one day they just set me off, and I noticed a couple neighbors were out in their front yards, you know, watching and upset, not afraid to do anything. And I was just extremely upset that afternoon for some particular reason, and I went down and hit their front door. Boom, boom, boom. As soon as they opened it, I badged them, and I started screaming at them about driving up and down the road at that rate of speed. Turned around and left with them standing there with their jaws hanging wide open. They have not done that since. I thought they learned their lesson. Keyword there, I thought. So a little while after that, more and more of them were there. That black car left within a week or so. They must have kicked that kid out of the house. These are all in their early 20s, I might add. So they're just these snot-nosed kids who think they can pretty much do anything they want. They're probably all dreamers. So we have an ordinance here in Charlotte. Well, we have several ordinances here in Charlotte, but I'm going to cover two right now that apply to them. The first one is you cannot park in your front yard. You can park anywhere you want in the backyard, but on your front yard, you have to park in the driveway or a graveled portion. You cannot park in the lawn itself. So they had started doing that, but they were being quiet. You know, there was no parties, nothing like that going on. They weren't racing up and down the road anymore. So I ignored it. Well, then they started doing a little bit more and a little bit more. Out came the couches into the front yard. I said, nope, at that point, that was where I drew the line. The neighbors were upset about that as well, because even though this is a mixed street, you have black neighbors next door, mixed race couple across the street, diagonally across from me, as a little old black lady in her 80s, we all get along very well, and we've all been here for decades, and we do not want trash coming into our street. Keep in mind, these are black people, they are not niggers, and I have explained the difference to you many, many times. So the last thing that any of us wanted was trash coming in, and as soon as those couches came out, that did it. I came home one afternoon, I saw the couches out there, and two automotive seats under the Bradford tree out front, Bradford pear tree. I said, no, I'm going to do something about this. And that night I went to bed, and all of a sudden I hear the mariachi music start as someone turns the car on, and it ran for about 15, 20 seconds, and it cut off. A couple hours later, they cut the car back on. I did it again. That's the only time they've done it. But I said at that point, enough is enough. So I made my call to 311 for not only the parking on the lawn, which they are really, really doing, and with this upholstered furniture in the front yard. So I came back the next day, and the couch from under the tree was gone, and the one that was on the front sidewalk was now up against the house, and the two automotive seats were on the front porch. You can't do that. They cannot be outside. If it's upholstered, it cannot be in your front yard or on your front porch. So I immediately called back and I said, yes, Mr. Freedom, we're sorry. The report was made. They have 2 weeks to be compliant. So on the 17th, this Friday, is when he will return and they will make that inspection and they will see that and then they'll get cited for it. Because the first time you get just a warning. The second time you get a fine. Maybe that will catch their attention. I'm just tired of everything that's going on lately. Everyone is using this excuse or an opportunity as an excuse to do whatever the hell they want. And that's just not going to fly here. This is a neighborhood where we all at some point do something we're not supposed to, so we overlook everything. But they're simple things. Maybe burning leaves in your backyard or something like that. But not something that's going to devalue the neighborhood, like not mowing your lawn or putting upholstered furniture in the front lawn. Driving at reckless speeds up and down the street. That's something we just do not do and we do not tolerate, and they need to be made aware of that. Now, while I'm on the topic of Mexicans, I want to play a clip for you, and there's going to be a lot of shouting in there. It's a little disturbing once you figure out what's going on, but pay very close attention. As soon as the clip starts, you're going to hear something that sounds like somebody hitting a tennis ball with a tennis racket, or perhaps a softball with a wooden bat. I want you to pay attention to that sound and then listen to what transpires after that, and then I will explain the clip to you because this affects me personally and it really, really pissed me off.
Don't you dare! Don't you dare!
Get off
her!
Hurry!
No, she's not finna jump. Oh, what the fuck?
Get off my daughter, you bitch!
Now, I deliberately left a space at the beginning so you could hear that pop. Let me play this for you again. Listen to this pop. That was the sound of a Mexican teenage girl coming into my niece's yard and striking my grandniece in the face. That was the sound of her fist hitting her face. That was my niece that you heard hollering, "Get off my daughter, you bitch." That was shot with a cell phone, that cell phone video. So for it to pick that noise up, you can imagine how hard she had to have hit her. And where you hear that guy hollering, "Don't you dare, don't you dare," some black girl then ran into the yard and jumped on top of my niece and punched her in the head 7 times before a black kid came around and finally grabbed her and pulled her off of my niece. So both my grandniece and my niece were physically assaulted in their own yard by trespassing violent minorities. I'm getting tired of it. Now, the guy you heard yelling, "Don't you dare, don't you dare," was my niece's stepfather, who once never bothered to take the cigarette out of his mouth or even drop the lawn chair or involve himself in any manner. Let me tell you something. If I'd have been there and that little Mexican had jumped my grandniece, that would have been me coming right off the bat. But when that other one came and jumped on my niece, that's my little girl. That is my daughter. I don't have kids of my own. And since my brother has passed, she and I have gotten very close. Mama Bear was protecting the cub, and Papa Bear would have come in, grabbed that little negress, and slung her halfway down the damn street. This stuff's got to stop. It's got to stop very soon, or it's going to get very dangerous. I know I keep saying that. These people just don't understand. If they keep pushing, we're going to boil over, and they're not going to like it. You know, you have all these protesters, these agitators, these rioters, these insurrectionists who are out there. Now, you and I may be peacefully protesting, or we may be counter-protesting, or whatever, but we always do it peacefully. And if you've ever been in one of these things, you know what they do. They come up, they stand in front of your signs, they holler stuff at you, and they do everything they can to provoke you. And eventually it happens. And then they cry foul. "Oh yes, I kept poking that hornet's nest, and then, oh my God, 1,000 hornets came out and stung me. That wasn't right at all." Grow up. As long as we do nothing, they're going to continue. This is just going to embolden them, and they're going to do this more and more often. And they're going to keep pushing, and they're going to keep pushing, and they're going to keep pushing. And if you ever saw First Blood, you remember what happened when they pushed John Rambo too far. "He kept pushing, sir." "Well, you did a little pushing of your own there, didn't you, John?" Well, that's what's going to happen. And I've said it before, they're not going to like it. They're not expecting it. But just everyone I talk to is almost at the breaking point, and something's going to set it off. And when it does, then we're going to come out in droves, and it's something unlike they've ever seen before. I don't think they're prepared for it. There may be some, you know, like listener Gary. Yeah, he's got some stuff. He's been in the military. But for the most part, these people are just coming here with a violent attitude and weapons that, for the most part, they don't know how to operate. And then when they jam, they're not going to know how to clean them or how to fix them. And they're going to be awfully surprised when this turns around and bites them in the ass. And they're going to be standing there in shock and disbelief going, "Oh my God, where did this come from? We didn't do anything." The hell you didn't. You've been doing this for 50 years, and it's about time that we did something back. You poke that hornet's nest, you're gonna get stung.
It's Tommy Freedom.
Well, I decided to take a break and go take a run over to Lowe's because a neighbor of mine needs some work done in her house. I had to get a price on materials and everything so I could go ahead and figure the job up for her. And on my way out, lo and behold, who was at that residence but code enforcement? And when I came back, there was a big orange sticker on the front door, so they are going to get an actual fine this time for that furniture in the yard. And additionally, when I came back in, one of the vehicles was parked in the front yard under the tree on the opposite side from where they put some gravel. So hopefully they'll get nailed for that one again as well. Maybe they'll start to understand that we mean business. Now this is just in. Breaking news. George, go ahead and cue the music. I should have never bought you that damn recorder for Christmas. Okay, so here's the scoop. Pelosi must go has been trending on Twitter all weekend long. But, believe it or not, it's not Republicans who are behind this, it's the Democrats. And it's a shocking sign that Nancy Pelosi's position among Democrats is becoming more and more unstable. Pelosi must go went straight to the top of Twitter over this past weekend. But, most shocking of all, this trend was driven by a Democratic revolt staged by radical socialists in the party who coalesced around Pelosi's left-wing challenger, Shahid Bhattar. Tell me that's not a black Muslim. So, we have been wanting Pelosi out of office for a long time. But now, all of a sudden, the Democrats want her out, too. We want her out because she's so far to the left. But the Democrats want her out because she's not far enough to the left. So get a load of this tweet. This is Shahid Bhattar for Congress. Corruption reveals itself in many ways. Abandoning affordable housing despite a housing crisis. Deferring to pharma and insurance industries during a pandemic. Embracing military expansion while thousands lack homes. Helping Trump while claiming to resist him. What? Nancy Pelosi has never, ever been on the side of Donald Trump. She is not claiming to resist him. She hates his guts. And someone else by the name of Ryan Knight posted this. Do you know why Speaker Pelosi is worth $120 million? Corruption. Well, I would agree there. But, he goes on to say, she's used her position of power not to advance the people's interests, but to advance her financial interests and her corporate donors' interests. Vote for Shahid for change. Hashtag Pelosi must go. Wow. So, let me get this straight. The leftists that are going after Pelosi, well, they're certifiably crazy. Helping Trump while claiming to resist him? That is absolutely ludicrous. But make no mistake, Nancy Pelosi is in real danger here, my friends. All it would take is a prominent young leftist called Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to endorse him, and Pelosi would face the real prospect of losing her seat. This is not good. It's just going further and further to the left. The more that we try and analyze this and try and get people to rationalize with real thought and real rational thinking, they're going further and further to the left. And that is why the Democrat Party is going to implode. You can't keep going further and further to the left. The American people are beginning to understand, and I think they're past beginning. I think a good majority of them now fully understand who has hijacked the Democrat Party and what they are trying to do to it. They are trying... All right, look, you always have two sides. There's two sides to the coin. There's heads, there's tails. You've always had left versus right, Democrats versus Republicans. But this hijack of the Democrat Party is from socialists and communists. They are not the Democrat Party anymore. They are the Socialist Party. They are the Communist Party. And the American people are finally opening their eyes, they're awakening, and they are beginning to understand what has happened to them over the past couple of decades. How this party has been taken away from them. There are no more Blue Dog Democrats. That's gone. There's like the dinosaurs. They're gone. They're extinct. What you have now, who is running the Democrat Party, are hardcore socialists and downright communists. And yeah, you're busted. You're going to see a huge turnaround in the polls in November. You will see a huge landslide win for Republicans over these left-wing, socialist, communist, Marxist Democrats. Mark my word. Okay, for the final segment, I'm going to get into something that, folks, I didn't even know was possible. But apparently, black women, overweight black women, are now blaming their obesity on whites. And they are claiming that they are fat because of racism. Now, I know what you're thinking, Tommy, that can't be true. No, even they wouldn't reach that far. Well, my friends, they have. And I'm going to play you a clip from Orca Winfrey, another fat pig herself. And I want you to listen to what this disgustingly overweight negress had to say. And I want you to listen very carefully. How everyone, in the background. And when she blames it on Trump, you listen to this. She's going to say, because of the Trump era, she's blaming her fatness on Donald Trump. And you will hear the, Folks, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So this is at least 750. Listen to this crap.
Like, I hate when people talk about black women being obese. I hate it. Because it becomes a way to blame us for a set of conditions that we didn't create. We're moving, we're taking care of kids, but our food quality suffers. We are living in the Trump era. And look, those policies kill our people. You can't get access to good health care, good insurance. The research says that black women, when we do the same diets as white women, we lose less weight and we lose it slower, even when we're following the diet, than our white women counterparts. And what public health practitioners think is that our stress responses in the body change our metabolism. It's literally that the racism that you're experiencing and the struggle to make ends meet actually means the diet don't work for you the same.
What?
It's literally that the racism that you're experiencing and the struggle to make ends meet actually means the diet don't work for you the same.
Can you believe that? Can you really believe that? Well, folks, you heard it yourself. This is exactly how far these people will go to blame their problems on you and me and call it racism and call us racist because they're freaking fat. You look at her. She was obviously probably on my 600-pound life. I don't know. But she was obviously the same size, not under the Trump era, but under the Obama era, and probably all the way back to the Roosevelt era, maybe even the Millard Fillmore era. This bitch has always been fat. She's always been overweight. And she's blaming it on you and me because of society, and it is so unfair. Well, you know, obviously she's eating, so she's getting food from somewhere, probably food stamps. Look, you go over to Africa where people really can't afford to eat, they're as big around as my little finger, okay? They may get a scrap of rice here and there, and they obviously are in need of food. This fat bitch is not in need of food. All she needs to do is stop feeding her face and she'll start to lose weight. And as far as them not losing weight as fast as white women do, well, that's called metabolism. It's science. Probably something that you never even studied in high school, but science is what makes this world go round. Take a deep breath. Folks, you can tell I'm agitated because I just said high school. I did my best to maintain standard American English, but I lost it at that point. So, oh, by the way, if you want to hear what I really do sound like when I'm not on air, that is a pretty good indication. But seriously, can you believe the audacity of this person, and I use that term lightly, to accuse you and me of being at fault for her being a fat ass? Why? Because our tax dollars go to fund the EBT card that she uses to buy all of that food to shovel down her throat and weigh 600 pounds? That's what we're dealing with, folks. I have been telling you this for years. You just cannot relate to these people. More importantly, they're never going to relate to you. These people have literally gone off the rails on Ozzy Osbourne's crazy train. We're never going to recover from this. We cannot come back from the brink without some kind of a major change. And unfortunately, that change, in all likelihood, is going to have to be violent to take this country back. All of our monuments being torn down, our history trying to be erased, and now they're going after all these sports teams that have names that are offensive to somebody. And of course, the most recent is the Washington Redskins. Well, they will no longer be the Washington Redskins. They have caved, they've kowtowed to the political pressure to these left-wing liberals, and they are going to change their name. Why? Because one of the part owners also happens to have a key voice in the name of the stadium. And they said that they will no longer tolerate them being called the Washington Redskins. So what are you going to call them? Maybe the Washington Thinskins, because that's what these people are. They don't have a backbone. They don't have a skin anymore. They're all a bunch of thin skins, and they need to wake the hell up and grow the hell up. But, you know, I don't even think that's harsh enough. No, not the thin skins. I got it. The Washington Foreskins. Because you know what? Everyone behind this is all a bunch of b****s. And on that note, I am going to terminate the show for this week. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, please do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. I love hearing from you, and with all the new listeners that have been tuning in lately, I'm really glad to hear from you. And honestly, I'd like to know how you are learning about the show. What made you tune in? Where did you hear about this? I would love to know where it's coming from. So always, my friends, stay safe, stay awake, stay out of trouble, but by all means, stay tuned, because I will be back next week. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now. Oh, and for you new listeners, stick around to the very end, because sometimes I might just put a little Easter egg in at the very end of the outro.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't, I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.